Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the 4Center podcast feed.
The center of the galaxy. This is the 4Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Rank, meaning us ranking things in Star Wars. And last time out, we had so much fun with the topic that we are doing it again. It might be another Star Wars Rank series. We'll see. We always stumble into something by accident. One of the souls that helps us stumble onto things by accident here, of course, is Joseph Scrimshaw. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here and looking at pictures and then describing them.
Yes, indeed. Here we go. Episode 145 was the art of the Mandalorian season 2. And we picked our favorite pieces of art from the Phil Stostak book. Man, I did not drink enough water today. My tongue is catching. But Joseph, you were like, hey, what if we just kept going? Or actually not kept going, but went back to The Rise of Skywalker. Yeah,
because I really love this book, and I've read bits and pieces of it, really enjoyed it, flipped through it, but haven't had the opportunity, honestly, to spend some quality time with it. When it came out, when it first came out, there we had just like a ton of things we were covering for 4Center, so I haven't got to spend as much time with it as I wanted to. So this was a really great opportunity to just really dive into the art and reading more about the process, which is so amazing. So really excited to finally dive into this with a little bit more depth.
Hey, love doing that. Yeah, these are these books put out by Abrams, written by Phil Sostak, like we said. Doug Chang, everyone has a chance to kind of chime in on the process. And behind the scenes, what I say, behind the scenes stuff is a part of Star Wars tradition. How it was made is almost at times more important than what was made, it seems, with us. Love it. A lot of great stuff here. We are going through, we're going to work our way 5-1 with the Rise of Skywalker art, though. I'm going to put a little asterisk with that with some of the choices that we have here today. You'll all see. So it's going to be a fun list, including one in which I almost didn't put because I felt I might be letting Joseph down more than the audience, or at least it would give the impression. So we'll get to that one as well. So Joseph, unless you have any other final thoughts on the art of, let's start getting to the list here.
No, let's do the list.
All right, 5-1. Joseph, you're number 5.
This one was hard, of course, again, but there was some that really jumped out to me, so I was thankful for that. Number 5 is one of the ones that jumped out to me, like, the second I saw it, I was like, that's gotta be on my list. It is on page 197, and I'm sort of describing it as Rey lights the tunnel. So this is, of course, concept art for approaching the Vexus, but it's just a beautiful piece of art. It is great composition. You got Rey a little bit in the background with the holding the lightsaber up, so you really get the projecting the light. Poe is back there with his flashlight. Even BB-8's projecting a little light on their legs, and 3PO's way back there in the darkness. But then Finn is in the foreground with just this great pose, amazing energy in his limbs, his pose matching the energy of the cave at different points. So it's just like technically great composition. But the reason that I picked it is this is an adventure book cover, right? Like,
totally.
There's so much in Rise of Skywalker that we really enjoy because it is really invested in the pulp thrill, fun, the serial action, one problem to another. You fell into some space quicksand after a chase. What's the next problem? What's in there, right?
Yeah.
This looks like Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys in space, like not the characters, but like really the vibe, does. Right? Like this looks like, you know, when I was a kid and going through the library trying to find fun books, like this would be the kind of cover of like, I don't know what the hell this is. I don't know who these people are. Is that a laser sword? These people are in trouble and they're in a scary cave. And Finn in particular is like, holy bleep. What's ahead of us, right? The darkness, the shadows. It's just, it's a perfect adventure book cover. And I love that because it captures one of the great things about Star Wars and one of the great things about Rise of Skywalker in particular.
Absolutely does. You can find this on the shelf at the library. I used to love checking those books out. And it's almost like a comic book cover as well.
Yeah.
Like, the art there, Adam Brockbank is the artist on this one. Great detail. And capture in the face, especially Rey. I mean, it is this determined grimace looking forward in the darkness, using the saber to light the way. It's such a Star Wars shot. Absolutely love this art.
Yeah, this one is just phenomenal for me. This is definitely one of the ones that like, I'd like a poster of that one. So that's my number 5, starting us off with that great spirit of adventure and light and dark. It's kind of got a little bit of everything. So that's my number 5.
Great way to start the list. And we do want to acknowledge we had some people in our Force Center Discord, which you can access via our Patreon page, saying that this was the Art of book last week was one of the ones that episodes that they had to sit down and listen to the show with the book on their laps, which we like to hear. We like to hear that. And if you're driving while you're listening, just wait, pull over, take a look and listen a little bit later. My number 5 here is I had looked at this book before. I looked at this book several times, and I think I saw it, but it just didn't register with me. It didn't connect. And it is on page 95. It is a BB tank, BB unit tank, BB tank version 01. Artist Lunt Davies saying, I was just having some fun with this tank. I'm not sure I would have actually wanted to see it realized in the final film, but I did it. And I agree with that. I don't think I would have wanted to see a tank. And for those who don't have the book in front of me, it is as you would think. It is, imagine BB-8, but instead of the astromech-like head of BB-8, imagine a tank with 3 separate gun turrets on it, some weapons on the side. It looks like a tank on top of BB-8. And then for scale, it has the resistance troopers
It's a giant tank. It's not tiny. It's giant. And they have an actual BB unit, maybe BB-8 himself down at the bottom, and it's to scale. It's so tiny. And this just has the spirit of what if, the spirit of creativity. And like the artist is saying, I don't know. I thought about it. I don't need everything I think about to be on the film, but who knows what ideas this makes other people think. And it has the spirit of those classic Kenner mini rigs almost. Like, is this real? I don't know. Was it in the movies? But I'd buy a toy about it. Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great pick and a great a connection to those mini rigs. Yeah, I love the spirit of this. Of probably not, but who knows what else it might inspire. And if not, some people are going to love it in this book. It's hilarious. I think it's that let's stretch the different tensions of Star Wars, right? Because astromechs or droids in general are often cute and fun, even when they can be dangerous, like BB-8. But BB-8 was such a plucky, happy little guy.
Right.
You know, so the idea of taking something that fills that role of the plucky, happy friend and turning it into a rolling machine of death is really, really funny. It plays with that tension. And there's also just like that thing of like Star Wars is not always about logic, right? Mm-hmm. So while in some ways it's logical to be like, well, we know that people in the galaxy make larger droids, the Separatist ships are droids, right? That they can walk around on their legs and then, you know, go into in flying form. So there's that logic of like, well, why wouldn't they make a giant astromech that's a tank? Right. But Star Wars isn't always about logic, you know, it is about myth, you know, and BB-8 symbolizes one thing and a tank symbolizes another thing.
It really does. Could you imagine just seeing this on screen, rolling through the forest, trees flying everywhere underneath? You got to be careful, BB tank.
Although I do like the idea that if in, you know, Last Jedi, BB-8 is using the walker there, the chicken walker. If he's like, you know what, I got an idea.
Well, then I can't help but look at this design and think, all right, it's a tank, an inanimate object of war, I guess. But if I saw this design, I'd want the tank to be a droid with its own thoughts and desires and actions.
Yeah. Is the tank on board with the resistance mission? Or would the tank be like, no. Yeah. Great pick.
Yeah. So it's true concept art, even if the concept is never fully realized. We are off and running here, and we are up to your number four.
My number four is on page 41. It is kind of character design concept art. They're definitely in my list. Lots of like just big, beautiful paintings. But I had to go with this piece of concept art that I am calling Poe's Had It. It is a great alternate take of Poe's look. But what I love about it is just the emotion in the drawing. This is Poe kind of a mix of, you know, emphasis. Obviously, they eventually went with the, you know, almost Indiana Jones adventurer look. I like to see that they played around with like, well, how much of that sort of pilot lineage of his character should we use? In this particular image, he's got the orange flight, maybe just pants. Maybe it's just rolled down. He's got a white unkempt shirt with great Star Wars pockets. Shirt's open, chest hair loud and proud. great helmet design in his hands, but then the tour of the DeForest, his head with great rendering of Oscar Isaac, big bushy beard, and total helmet hair. Either helmet hair or I just got up. I need 800 cups of calf to cope. I like the design of the outfit. It's a fascinating exploration of half in, half out pilot look, but it's that hair and that beard of just like the Poe's. I think it captures a truth of Poe's character at the beginning of Rise of Skywalker is he knows that there's supposed to be the spark that will light the flame, and he's struggling to keep the spark alive because everything's so difficult. And this picture screams, I know I'm supposed to keep the spark alive. Keep the spark alive. I'm trying to keep the spark alive, but it's not going well.
We all just need to get to the next day, right? That's the something we all live in. And then at the same time, he's effortlessly cool. That hair, that bedhead, if it is bedhead, he looks, I'd kill for this hair. I'd kill for this hair and beard.
Yeah. Yeah. Who among us wouldn't? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just great. I love it. Just so much mood and you know, so much storytelling in just a costume design.
Yeah, no, and there's a lot of costume designs and concepts obviously are going to be left on the table when they end up going with what they feel works best. And I think some of the choices might work slightly better than this, but this is such of what Poe is and what Poe is at the moment. You're right. It is not just what kind of color pants should he wear, though that was part of the debate. This is everything about capturing the character of the moment, which is part of the purpose of concept art. And in reading a lot of little details on this page that you've selected here, page 41, Poe was, in fact, going to be flying a Y-wing in early drafts. And hey, I think I agree with the X-Wing, the orange X-Wing choice they went with. But you're looking at Y-Wing pilot Poe here, and I like that, too.
Oh, nice, nice. The piloting that could have been. So that's my number four. Poe has had it.
Great number four, and no doubts there. And mine is for number four, going up to page 49. If you're keeping score at home and you're flipping along at home, you can hear our pages flipping here today. Page 49 is a page of Landos. Who doesn't want a collection of different Landos? Knowing Billy Dee Williams is going to be in the film, they put together some concept of that. And, you know, the one I'm focusing on, we'll get to, but there's kind of classic Bespin Lando, the blue over the black with a very nice cape, the black on the outside, dark kind of almost forest green on the inside. He's got a cane. And then there's other versions. There's more of like a all black outfit with the blaster on the holster. Another one, he's a little more kind of a muted gray, but they all have the same pose. His hands are out and he's kind of like, hey, I'm Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian. And the highlight for me is the one that essentially they went with here is it is Lando in the Solo A Star Wars Story outfit. I just have always, you know, so happy to have Lando back for this movie. He's got some great moments, some real powerful moments for me as a fan. But then just, I don't know, just a little detail of, let's just tie it to this this other movie, this other part of Lando's life. It really worked. I love the reveal. Remember, we saw that first, I think, at Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, just an image on the panel, during the panel. Yeah.
Standing there in the Falcon. It was just real powerful. And I loved it. And I would have been fine with Lando anyway you wanted to present him to me. Keeping the color scheme somewhat similar to Bespin Lando, where we met him, it would have been okay. Like, I wouldn't have been upset at all. But I just really love the connection, the bright yellow of Solo version of Lando in an older way, in an older version. So love this page, a page of Lando's.
Oh, yeah, that is great. And I think I'm in agreement with you about everything. I love seeing the Cloud City classic Lando with that specific blue and then the black collar. You know, it really pops. It evokes. There's a lot of nostalgia. But I really, really happy that they tied it to Solo. Because that yellow speaks to, like, you know, Lando's been through some things and he has a little bit of a challenge there in the movie getting back to the fight. But he does. But that yellow connects him to his youth and it makes him, you know, vibrant and alive. And this image really sells it too. I love, it's just a great image between the cane and the pistol.
Yeah.
And just the way his hands are out, there's this real vibe of like, we could make a deal or we could exchange blaster fire. Your choice. I'm Lando Calrissian. It's so great.
Lando's going to be Lando to the end of his days, man. He's going to keep true to himself. Even when he's fighting on the good side now. And look, as I get older, my back gets more pain. I want a Lando cane. Can they sell that at Galaxy's Edge? That's going to be the question I'm having.
I was going to guess a price, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, indeed. So that is my number four. We're working through it here. We're looking at the Art of Rise of Skywalker book and giving you all of our favorites. Joseph, we're up to your number three.
For my number three, we are going to page 135. This is the most to manage for a podcast. page 135, and what one will find on page 135 is a giant picture, which is it looks like a part of a storyboard of the training fight between Luke and Leia. This is one of those, there's full page images that is, working out what it's going to look like. In some ways close to what it ended up being, but it's just a gorgeous full page piece of art by itself. I mean, obviously I gravitate toward it because the power of knowing that Leia trained and getting to see that moment in the movie, but this is just, not surprising that obviously they're all incredibly talented professional artists, but the composition again is just amazing, electrifying. the image. If you don't have it in front of you, I like that it's all organic, right? They're fighting in the forest, and this really brings out, it's got that misty quality that it looks natural and flowing or inorganic, but it's also got that vibe that's there on Dagobah too, of like, life is all around us. That's great. Mm-hmm. But what's in there in the darkness, a little bit of the mystery of the woods. They're fighting on a big downed tree that's got this great energy, diagonal energy of just cutting through the bottom of the frame. And then the figures dressed very much in this great Star Wars, the Star Wars version of fencing outfits, right?
And it
definitely is similar to what they have in the movie. It's got some relationship to it. I think there's a power of knowing it's Luke and Leia ultimately in this image. Mm-hmm. There's a blue blade and a slightly red blade. And it's just one of these images. If I didn't know the context from the film, I would just be like, I need to hear a million words about what this is. Who are these people? Why are they in Star Wars fencing gear? What planet are they on? Are they training or are they fighting? Is this a civil, you know, are they trying to score points like it's fencing? Or are they trying to murder each other? What's going on? It's a beautiful image, very evocative of Star Wars. Cool if you know it's Luke and Leia, and even more fun and mysterious if you don't.
Oh yeah, we talked about even the Art of Mando book. There's some of the concept arts. You look at it, it's like a Sears catalog. You just daydream about that toy, what story you could tell, right? And you look at it, you kind of don't know what's going on if you're just looking at it without seeing the movie, of course. And you're right. The other pictures, it's a blue and green saber. So I don't think this is entirely intentional, but yet it is very much a red hue there on that saber that Luke told him. So it just adds a little more intrigue to it.
Yeah, and for like all of the amazing and great art of two figures clashing with lightsabers, this just has this great different energy of the character who's on the lower half of the tree, kind of the thrusting forward. It's just really great. I could go on and on about it, but I'm gonna stop because I want to go on and on about some other pictures. So that's my number three.
Great number three. Luke and Leia train in there. So we're going to go to my number three on page 227 as I flip to it. You all can flip along as well. And it is Poe. No, excuse me. Not Poe. I got to miss this. I got to get to the page. It is Finn is what I meant to say. It is Finn crashing through the window on a Star Destroyer in the final fight on Exegol. This is a wonderful piece of art because you have Finn on a rope smashing through the window feet first. He is firing his blaster, not unlike a action star from the 80s. And he's got a scream on his face at First Order or probably Final Order troops in reality are taking the blaster shots once being shot. The other ones are flying. And one, I think, is holding a cup of coffee. It's hard to say. There's just a lot going on. Yeah, right.
Just drinking out of a red Solo cup.
He's just sitting there like Ryan Alsman does this art and it's just wonderful. And a lot of it, there's a lot of discussion. I think even John Boyega had that sense of like, hey, I'd love to have Finn just to do some wonderful action. I think he had some great action in Last Jedi, but I understand the idea of like, all right, Finn's on board. He's committed. What's his story? What's his purpose? And let's give him some action. Let's give him some cool Star Wars action. Again, I think he had some early on in the first two movies, but it is ramped up in Rise of Skywalker. And this picture really sets the tone. I got to imagine someone came up with it. You know, they came up with this and they presented this to the team and was like, yeah, how can we make that one work? Or how can we at least make the energy of this, concept art work for the Finn character. It is great, and it's not something you've seen a ton in Star Wars. I'm trying to think of some examples. Some might pop up in the Clone Wars or something, but just a hero bursting through the window like he's fighting like it's a spy thriller set in the real world here. So love this shot.
Yeah, this is absolutely Star Wars meets Die Hard, right? Specifically with the shattering through the window, holding onto something in your hand, and the blaster blazing away. It's really great. And this one, you know, really evokes for me this idea in concept art of like, okay, we know we want this. We know, as you're saying, we want Finn to be leading this final charge. We want him to be committed to stopping the atrocities of the First Order. He's charging forward. Exactly how far are we going to take that?
Yeah.
Are we going to take that Die Hard far? Like, so I love that spirit in it, you know, the shattering glass. And I would say the spirit is there on those Orbox, right? He's charging forward. He's not backing down. And it's just great to see a different version of that.
Yeah, this is a comic book cover, almost like a comic book panel more than a cover, right?
This is a frozen moment.
Yeah, you can hear the action. So that's my number three choice. Finn crashes through the Star Destroyer bridge, shooting like an 80s action star to save the day. We are working way faster this list here. Up to your number two, Joseph. What do you got?
My number two is one that just really kind of cracked me up. We are going to page 206. And what you'll find on page 206 is Babu Frick all up in C-3PO's head. This one was just too great for me to leave out. There's so many great dramatic moments, but this one really cracked me up because it's very practical and very funny and not that different than what we got, and yet it is. Obviously, in the film, Babu opens up the back of 3PO's head and really gets in there. But this image, if you've got it open on page 206, it is 3PO entirely horizontal and Babu all the way under him, light on his face, it wires everywhere. And this is just totally, I think for me, part of it is like, my dad's a car guy and he tried to teach me as much as possible. I did a little bit of work on my old Ford Fairmont, but as my dad always said, like, once they start putting computers in there, you got to be careful. So I am not a mechanic, but I also have a sort of affinity for that. Those early days of having that Ford Fairmont and working with my dad. And this is just the vibe of like Babu Frick, not just as an engineer and droid smith, but as a mechanic going, well, let's get under 3PO's hood. You know, vital 3PO brain fluids dripping on his face practically, you know, that's why this image grabbed me. It's Babu Frick as a mechanic opening up the hood of 3PO's head.
I've included, like, he's on his back on like a little roller changing the oil, right? He's looking under the hood. Indeed. I love it. And the title of the picture is Chop Shop Version 2. So that's totally the spirit of an auto, chop shop, putting things together, or pieces of recycling and building something new. I love everything about the energy. And Babu, Babu being such a favorite, you could just almost hear his voice in that. I'm not saying I would have wanted this over anything we got, but I would have died laughing at seeing this.
No, I think that's why I like it, is that this is a great take, and I think what is in the film does work better to have 3PO a little bit more upright, and you know that Babu's tinkering back there. This would have hurt more, right? This would have been more like... they already play the sacrifice of 3PO and the tension of it and all that. But this is really like, he's in there. He's all the way in there.
This version would have needed Babu to have, say, hey, start it up. Start it up, and someone else would have turned the key to ignition or something like that. True chop shop action there.
True chop shop action. Yep. So that is my number two, Babu Frick all up in 3PO's brain.
Well, when you say it like that, I love that one. Hang that one on a wall. We're going to my number two, page 193. This is the big stunt piece. We've got specifically, I'm highlighting the picture of Rey leaping, doing the back flip over Kylo Ren's fast approaching TIE fighter. This is a great trailer reveal that we all saw and celebrated Star Wars Celebration. You and I were talking about stunts recently, and we both loved this moment, especially when you see the behind the scenes and a lot of the practical side to this stunt and what they did. This concept art, other than just really capturing the spirit of the moment, Rey, saber extended, the speeding TIE fighter, just reminds me that the entire process begins with a thought. It begins with a scribble on a notepad, and then it goes to pieces of art like this that capture the movement, the spirit, what you're trying to accomplish, and then that all goes to set eventually. It flows like a river, and it just is a true piece of concept art and a great one indeed. Love the detail. Love just the size of the TIE fighters compared to her. Just highlights the strength and the act of bravery that she was doing there and her own confidence. And it's just a cool moment in the film, and it's a cool piece of art to set up that moment.
Yeah, I think what I love about it is it captures all of the emotion, all of the ideas of what's going on in that great stunt, in that great moment in the film, but it's just a different look at it, right? And it brings out those feelings in different ways. I think the fact that this is a real comic book panel, right?
Yeah.
This is like right in the middle of that. The way that it is, you know, so flat with the energy of the TIE Whisper wings just flying forward, dagger forward, stabbing forward. And then in contrast, there's definitely power in Rey, but she's so flowing. She's so organic. It's clearly like, you know, a body in motion versus this stabbing machine.
Yeah.
That is bearing down on her. And just the contrast between those two energies is like, that's so great.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, on this page, there's a lot of other great art of the TIE Whisper, but also the actual slice of the lightsaber, her waiting. And it's more like, it's like the Last Jedi Rey with the staff kind of waiting with the vest. Mm-hmm. It's different concepts, but so obviously love where they ended up, but yeah. Great piece. And again, just the whole concept. This is how it works. This is how you make a picture, right? Page to screen.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful one. That was one that I had to leave off my list, so I'm glad you included it.
There you go. Well, we are racing towards our honorable mentions. Our number one choices here, looking at the Rise of Skywalker art of books. So stick around. We are going to get to those choices. You got some more Star Wars rank coming your way.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked. Me, Kadnapsuck, and Joseph Scrimshaw are having a lot of fun looking at the Art of the Rise of Skywalker book from Abrams, written by Phil Sostak, and so many great artists, designers, and concept geniuses coming up with these great pieces of art. Been a lot of fun to go through, but Joseph, there's some that didn't quite make our top five list. What are your honorable mentions?
So this one was, again, really hard. So I'm going to page 175. There are two images on this page, and I really, really love both of them. They're both takes on a throne room with Kylo, and Rey is present in one of them. I think that image got spread around the internet a bit as a kind of what if. So we'll look at that one first. This is clearly like an iteration of a dark Rey. It's this great floating throne that is, you know, it's one of those Star Wars designs where like, hey, that throne is kind of like, what if a dime was evil? But it looks cool. The big red, big, you know, it looks very Star Wars, very different, you know, kind of green and dark, the whole ambiance, and Kylo lounging like a little kind of I'm the boy king vibe. Yeah. And then next to him, Rey in a dark gown with that staff held and ready. And it is just this great what if. This picture almost looks like Kylo's daydream, you know?
Yeah, like, more than her
what
vision.
If she had said yes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I said, yeah, more than her vision. You're right. Absolutely. Him kind of trying to figure out, well, what if?
Yeah, well, when I get her to join me, like, you know, will we have a double throne? Will I sit in the throne and she'll stand there?
Yeah.
It's just this fantasy of being aligned toward the dark side. And then the image below, it's black and white. It's a different throne, but it is just, oh, man, I love it because it's kind of Kylo at his worst.
Yeah.
It has got the Knights of Ren in the background, which is great. The throne is this kind of like this sharp, they're actually kind of wide V, but it's like this throne is designed so you can lounge in it. It's like a Barca throne.
It's like the best video game small love seat couch you could play on or something.
This is the kind of chair that you would buy as a young person thinking it was really cool, and then it would torture your back as you got older.
Oh, yeah.
But Kylo is lounging, not even sitting, reclining in this chair. So casual. And then he's got one hand kind of upturned, and there is a figure just being torturously lifted into the air and choking. The head's hanging down, almost looks like maybe the choking is done. Yeah. But just, oh, the contrast of like Kylo being like, I can't even be bothered to sit up in my recline throne. Well, I murder this person. It's like, we've talked a ton about balancing the enjoyment of the evil acts with, while also, you know, really embracing the morality of Star Wars is helping us to move away from these choices. But this is one of those images where, hey, if we're telling this story of darkness and we want people to feel it, how can we make them feel it? This one makes me feel it. The most casual, indulgent, entitled force choke I have ever seen.
It really is. It's howdy Kylo doing bad.
Yeah. So I love that one. Sorry. Went on about that one was a big one for me. Love that one.
Great. It's great.
All right. Managing all of my tabs in my books, going to page 113. And I was reading about this one. A lot of great stuff in this book. It walks through the process so much, and you learn some great things about the iteration process. This one is a version of an Akiyaki festival, and it's kind of Akiyaki festival via Wicker Man, if anybody's seen Wicker Man. I just picked it because it's just a great image. It's this large statue idol that is in the foreground, and then it's casting a shadow, and you see all of this multitude of people at the festival, and there's this lone figure kind of reaching their hands up. It looks like in tribute to the statue, and the shadow is cast perfectly, so the small individual is standing in the light, in the negative space created by the shadow, or lack of shadow in that one space in the figure's head. And it's just, obviously, this isn't the mood of what the Akiyaki Festival of Ancestors ended up being. It ended up being a beautiful, wonderful thing, but this is just a great image of kind of a different idea of what if the festival seemed really nice on the surface? And then you're like, wait, no, these people are going to sacrifice me. They're going to put me in the statue and burn it. You know, it's got that vibe to me as well as being a beautiful piece of art. So I really like that vision of what could have been different.
It's a great photo. You touched on all the things that it's drawn from, but also wonder if the artist Lund Davies is a burner, if he goes out to Burning Man, because it has that vibe.
It does have a great, great Burning Man vibe. Another one for me is on page 148, and this is just a classic Leia shot. There's so many great Leia images in this book. And this is one that's just her silhouette with the Falcon. It is just... there's something in her pose that really evokes the great eyes of Organa on Crate image on screen in Last Jedi and you know in art as well. She's got that weight of all these lives lived and the responsibility, but also kind of looking at the Falcon and thinking about the past. There's just a ton of emotion in it. It captures Leia and her journey really, really well.
It's a great piece. I'm glad you included this one. This could have been on my list as well, but release this one as a poster right now, and I'll buy that and make space on my wall.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, and I know it's in the part where they're dealing with, you know, what the base is going to look like. I also like that there's a figure on the move, you know?
Yeah.
In her, in contrast, like she's just sitting there. Yeah, standing there contemplating it all. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It uses the animalism really well. Let's see. Do you want me to pause there and jump to yours?
Yeah, absolutely. You got some great choices forthcoming here, too. But going to some of my honorable mentions, going to page 54. 54, I says, this was, a lot of you know, especially in the days right after Rise of Skywalker, I was a big Zori Bliss fan, and Carrie Russell's so great in the role. I think it's just a great design, and it's a powerful design. It's a sexy design. It's everything. I really love Zori Bliss. I just didn't think I could love Zori Bliss more until I saw the concept art of her in like a big leopard print fur coat in the snow.
This one speaks to me a lot, that battle growing up in Minnesota of like, I need to be warm, but I also don't want to look like a dork. And Zori Bliss is like, I got that covered.
Yeah, it's great because there's a lot of different on the other pages. They go through different ideas of what Zori might have looked like. Of course, that's going to be natural. But the one they settle on is the one that's in this photo, but just wrapped up by, I mean, she looks like, I don't know, she's going to a boxing match watching Apollo Creed in a Rocky movie. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. And there's snow coming down. You and I just ranked Star Wars jackets. I think this one trumps them all. We need to redo the episode. The concept art is the number one choice. What a great coat. What a great
coat.
Love it.
Have we done best capes?
I think we're going to need to. We're going to need to now and count this one indeed.
This is another one of those powerful, powerful images that does just, it projects power, right?
Mm-hmm,
if you encountered this figure and they were wearing this space, you know, leopard skin, lion skin, and we're taking that off and like, okay, let's get down to business. Oh, I'd be terrified.
Yeah, so much there. My next one is on page 155 for an honorable mention. It's Kylo and the First Order on Mustafar. Love the Mustafar stuff. Love when Mustafar pops up. And it does sometimes more often than you'd think. But this one is great. It kind of looks like a action figure playset design, like a package. You got Kylo, you got two First Order officers flanking him, and behind them are First Order stormtroopers. You've got Kylo's ship there. There's some ruins. There's maybe those cultists destroyed the trees. Sparse. It you know, and I wouldn't immediately, if you just showed me this picture before the film, I wouldn't have thought Mustafar, which is part of the design. They knew they wanted to kind of have maybe a different part. They needed to have a different part of Mustafar. It's not as volcanic, which kind of creates some more storytelling there. There was going to be the broken Vader castle in the background, a lot of cool things. So this is just a great piece of Star Wars action figure inspired art. I want to buy this cinema scenes playset here.
Yeah. And it's got a great take on Kylo where the you know, repaired helmet is already on and it's got these scratches across it that look almost more like just like bloody scars.
Yeah, it really does. Almost echoing Finn and his bloodstained helmet in Force Awakens. Certainly not super intentionally, but it has that kind of look. Love that.
Yeah, great pick.
My other ones, and by the way, I emailed you when we were sharing a list, Joseph. I didn't intend this. This has just happened. Most of my choices, Kylo. Like I'm some moody emo kid who listens to The Cure, a great band, and always just wants a moody Kylo around. I didn't intend that, but here we are. Here we are.
There's a lot of great moody Kylo images.
So on page 169, this one did make the rounds before, kind of went out to the public, and it is there's a couple photos on there of captured Chewie, tortured Chewie, and Kylo maybe having a little bit of a face-to-face with his old uncle Chewie. That's dark, man. That's some dark stuff. And the one particular one right in the center, there's a different kind of torture device. Imagine like a torture droid, but in a wall. Chewie is chained and he's on his knees, and you got Kylo standing before him. And this has been talked about in other places. I don't know where right now is where I stand. I don't know if I wanted this scene in the movie, if I needed it. I think I would have liked it. And there's times I would have answered yes, but this particular scene is brutal. So I don't know. I don't know where I stand, but I'd love having the concept art to just kind of get me wondering what that would have been, what that could have been. We often really love to explore what is actually there on screen and what is in the movie. So I think I live in that mostly, but you know what I mean? I guess my hesitation is, Joseph, I love Chewie. I don't want to see him tortured like this.
I think that for me, there's a couple things going on in these images. They're beautiful images and they're great concept art, but yeah, almost all of them are a little bit, for me, rougher than I want to experience Chewie going through, particularly like at that point in the movie.
Yeah.
That there's enough darkness going on that I don't need to, poor Chewie. So like it's designed so well to be like, oh, wow, that is torturous. Chewie's in hell. So I wouldn't want that. I think in the novelization, there's a little bit of this scene, right? Of
a little Kylo. Bit, right?
Yeah. Of Kylo and Chewie. You know, it's one of those scenes where like, yes, I would love to see that scene. There's so many possibilities there. But it always comes down to, does it work in the flow of the film? So yeah. I'm happy we have it in the novelization. I'm happy we have these visions of it in this book.
Yeah, I can live with that there. Wrapping up my list here, we've got on page 209, Kylo and Vader's helmet. There's a lot of that kind of imagery in the book here, but this one is interesting because it's almost sort of a Ryan Alsman piece, and it's like Kylo on Kijimi, blade out and the snow coming down, and it's the Kijimi design. We kind of get the one that gets into the movie. And then in the foreground is the Vader helmet that, you know, we know he has, but it's like, it's very much reminiscent of what we saw in The Force Awakens. And it's just kind of sitting there in the snow, you know, did Rey knock it off in their, you know, vision fight or I don't know though, you know, what many things could have happened, but I just love this shot, particularly if you had taken this piece of art and showed it to me in 2015, I would have been like, oh, yeah, it probably had a lot to do with Kylo's journey. And I think the shadow of Vader does hang over a lot of Kylo's journey and how Palpatine uses that. But you know what I mean? Like, this would have seemed like, oh, that was from the Force Awakens trailer. I love it. So I just something about it. I didn't quite make my list, but it's great.
Yeah, that contrast of the red and the Kylo's saber and the blue, that's all great. And the helmet being in the foreground. I think there's something in this image that is really powerful because it's seen Vader's helmet not in a place of honor, but just sort of like dumped on the ground.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
There's so much energy in Kylo's reaction to it that it makes you ask, like, it seems like he's upset about that helmet. Is he mad that it's in the snow on the ground because it's in a place of honor? Or is he having an epiphany that he's followed the wrong path? Like, there's so much tension in his pose that invites you to ask, what is he feeling and thinking about the helmet?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well said there. A couple more for me here. Page 219, there's Rey on the throne room ruins. And like a head, maybe Kylo's head approaches, but then you kind of look at it, it could be just a piece of metal, or it could be Rey herself in a vision. It's kind of open to interpretation for me. But it is the Death Star, second Death Star throne room, pretty much as we see it in this movie, but even more kind of slanted and collapsed and water pouring in there. So there's a base of water at the bottom of the stairs. Just love that shot. Love the use of it in the movie, but just great. What fun concept art to do. Can you go back to the team? Take us to the throne room, Return of the Jedi, but put Rey in there. Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. Just Rey dealing with the wreckage of the past.
Yeah.
you know, another great image of that.
final one for me. We'll kick it back to you and get back to our choices here. Our number one choices are coming here. Final one for me, page 240. It is Kylo on the ruins of the Death Star. This is after Rey has left, after he has been healed. And this is around the, it pretty much looks exactly like the shot around him and the image, the dream of Han Solo. So this is why I love it. So many people love that scene. And this one's so good. It's like, for a second, I thought it was from the movie. Like, I thought it was a shot from it for a second when you're just scanning through the book. So I just love that. Love that piece of art to remind me of that powerful scene for me.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you put this one on your list because these books offer you so many different insights. Like, what if BB-8 was a giant tank?
Yeah.
You know, things that even the artist is like, I'm not sure about this, but I'm going to give it a try. And, you know, scenes or plot threads or character choices that go a different direction. It's so powerful to see something that is clearly one of the, like, yeah, that's it. In fact, that's it so much that, yeah, maybe the background changes a little bit, but his pose, his body, his energy, it's the film. You know?
Yeah, totally is.
Yeah.
A couple more honorable mentions for you.
Yeah, we are going, we're staying in moody Kylo land. We're going to page 170. And this is a concept for Kylo's throne room type area. Mm. And it's just a really different mood.
Yeah.
This one is just like, is this a Pink Floyd album cover? Like, it's very.
Yeah.
It's very sci-fi 70s dark, but it's a little like almost H.R. Giger. It's so Star Wars, but so different. It is this big sweeping sort of circular shape that goes along the wall. And then this low level with steps that's all just kind of bathed in red. Mm. This kind of lonely figure of Kylo. And then far away on a small pedestal is what I believe is Vader's helmet with the blue shaft of light. Descending down on it.
It's so awesome. This made me stop. It's really, really made me stop when I was flipping through the book. And again, we don't like to get too lost in would have and could have and should have, but this is what, like, it's gorgeous. It's just menacing, evil, and gorgeous all at once.
It really is. And there's some great description on this page of how the all of these concepts of Kylo's sanctuary shifted to the white. And I think that was a really great and bold design choice and evocative of, you know, lots of ideas with the way Star Wars is using colors to code different ideas. But this one is, yeah, this one's beautiful. If Kylo releases a prog rock album, please let this be the cover.
Love it. Love it. Great choice. One more honorable mention you said?
Yeah. I am pulling it up. I lost it for just a moment. So, hey, everybody, please just stare at that picture and imagine Kylo singing some great rock songs. There we go. Found it again. The last one for me is page 21 through 22. This is Rey reaches toward her reflection. This is in that earlier part of the book that is having some Last Jedi stuff in it, which is a fascinating part of this book that you alluded to, Ken. And this is Rey is reaching towards a reflection in the mirror cave, very similar. But there are two other figures swimming on either side of her. And one is Kylo with that great red blade. And then the other is Obi-Wan Kenobi. So, hey, some concept art that includes Obi-Wan Kenobi in The Rise of Skywalker. I kind of just had to include that one.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's an amazing piece of art. And, you know, what was interesting is they highlighted in the book is, you know, to avoid spoilers, when the Last Jedi art book came out, a lot of things were held back. They didn't want anyone to get it. And I love that, which this book has a distinct lack of Palpatine in it.
It does.
So we'll get to see that hopefully one day soon. So anyways, back to this big theory energy, right?
Right. This is definitely like, oh, turns out she's Obi-Wan Kenobi's daughter for sure, or granddaughter or whatever. And she's the child of Corky. wild theories. But yeah, it's just a beautiful image, too. It could just be like Rey absorbing the history of the struggle, right? With the Kylo Red on one side and Alec Guinness Obi-Wan on the other. And just it's great to see a blade. Kenobi's blade is bent funny like it's a pool noodle, and that should be funny, but because it's the mirror reflection, it's really cool and different.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Yeah. So that's my runner up.
Good runner ups there. And also, I was scrolling through the front list to give. We always want to shout out the artist. I kept saying Ryan Alsman. There's a Ryan Church and Christian Alsman is one of the authors. I was saying too as well. And when I say Lunt Davies, it's Jake Lunt Davies. Just want to make sure I'm giving proper credit to people. Caught myself there as we were going through this. There, great honorable mentions, which means Joseph, we've got some tough choices here for our number one pieces of art here. So going to mine here, I'll take number one. So you can close the show as we always do here. And I have to keep flipping. I have to keep flipping to the front. This is page 4 and 5.
Wow.
Four and five. Keep flipping past even the open. So here's the thing. I pulled the book off the shelf, sat down with a cup of coffee and a notepad, right? And this is the first page I flipped to. And it's, like I said, literally before the like opening titles. You don't even get to the Art of Rise of Skywalker credit there. It is Rey, lightsaber extended. It is Kylo, down to one knee, one hand, his red lightsaber extended. We got the blue, we got the red. This is on the ruins of the Death Star. This is similar to some of the big poster stuff we have already, some of the stuff that did make the movie. But they're almost on the other side of a waterfall. Water's just flowing down. It's very aquatic. And behind the water is like a TIE fighter, just a big TIE fighter.
Staring at him.
Staring. Not unlike the cut scene with Jid in Rogue One. It's just right there. I love this. And the water, the detail, the water pouring down, splashing off of Kylo's helmet. The water meeting his red blade. Rey's hair, you got her hair's wild, wisps of hair flying anywhere. She's in the middle of this fight. Her blade back to defend and maybe attack as needed with Kylo. Water, so much action. Water, she's clearly maybe just moved her hands back because water is flowing off her hands and the blade. This is breathtaking. I love this. And I stopped and I went, oh, I'm going to mark this down. And I thought, if I submit this as my choice, Joseph's going to think I didn't do any research, that I just opened up the book and went, all right, this one. It's so early on in the book, but I made myself list other things to just confirm that this is what I wanted. This is absolutely my number one favorite piece of art in this book. The abandoned Death Star fight with a TIE fighter behind the water. So much going on. I love the scene. I love the sequence. And I love this piece of art.
This is a great choice, and obviously you did go through the entire book, and you made a lot of choices, but not only is it one of the first images, if you take the dust sleeve off, it is the image on the cover.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I know that you actually did the research, but it's really funny to me to imagine, like, Ken Knapsack's book report, he appears to only be analyzing the cover.
I walked into a restaurant and said, I'll have that. Did you look at the menu? Nah, just give me that.
I saw what the people at the other table were eating and I pointed at it. Yeah. No, this is a great choice. It's a powerful image. It is close to images that are in the movie. They're on promotional, but it is different because they are under that waterfall. Yeah.
Right.
And I think there's also an energy about it that it captures what's going on in the scene of Rey losing herself in the image. You know, it's a frozen moment, but she's the aggressor, right? Like Kylo's down on one knee, his saber is back. There aren't as many motion lines on him, except for even more water is hitting him and pounding down on him. Yeah, in those great arcs of water that are, you can just track the movement as she's swinging back for another strike. It's great.
Yeah, no, it makes me want to go watch the fight right now. Like, after this, I'm going to have some lunch. I'll put that on. I'm just going to watch that fight. Just so lovely.
Just the fight, please. Just the fight. Yeah.
So that's my number
really
one.
Great pick.
Yeah, close it up here. We got your number one here. I went to the front of the book. Where did you go?
I went almost all the way to the back. Another image of Rey and Kylo. Another image that is similar to the image in the movie, but still has its own unique power in concept art form. I'm going to page 253. And it is this image of Rey and Kylo having their confrontation on the Star Destroyer before the Falcon arrives and she gets out of there. It's, like I said, it's a 2-page spread that's just art. But it's very similar to the film, but also very different. There's a little bit of tech on the floor. There's like a button that's got some red. So there it's grounded a little bit with that kind of one glaring bit of bright red. But then it's Rey and Kylo. Their figures are relatively small. They are really facing off. There are no blades out, but they're staring at each other. The wind is billowing. His cloak is going, and so is her hood. So you feel that sort of weight of the wind is bustling at them. The no weapons out, but they're clearly in conflict.
Yeah.
Or are they not? I mean, it is what's going on in the scene, right? Of like staring each other down and like, are we gonna find a way to come together, or is this gonna be constant conflict between us? That tension is absolutely there in this image. And then what makes it really different from the scene in the movie is, I mean, it's there in the movie, but again, it's so highlighted here. There's the line of electric blue at the edge of the ship. And then the clouds are just this beautiful, haunting blue. You can see beyond the clouds to see the stars in the sky. This is just like an image of fate and destiny. These two people who are intertwined, one in black, one in white, the red and the blue, the anger and the peace and the turmoil of the clouds. Or is it actually the clouds are parting and you're going to stare up peacefully at the night sky? There's so much in this image that's just, it's the precipice between peace and conflict. It's really beautiful.
It's stunning. That belongs in a museum. Yeah, no, absolutely. The clouds, the detail. And because they're smaller, right? The designs of them are smaller. You can only pick up on the energy, only pick up on the mood. You can't read their faces. And that it makes it almost more effective for me.
Yeah, that you can't quite read it. It is the tiny figures within this huge, expansive world.
Yeah, and there's a lot of energy here that reminds me of some of the, I don't know, Macquarie stuff early on, where not even like the New Hope Macquarie stuff, but like the Empire and Jedi New Hope or Jedi Macquarie art, where, you know, we already knew what the characters looked like.
Yeah.
So he had to tell a different story in the concept art, and this has that as well.
Yeah. It's fun to see some of these images and think back to, you know, collecting the trading cards when I was young and, you know, like, what would this be labeled?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, absolutely. A lot of the art actually has its own image, but like, conversation of fate.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Sorry. As we're talking, I dropped the book. See, we do have the books in front of us here.
We got to put nets under ourselves to record these if we're going to keep going with this. But that is my pick for number one. Rey and Kylo staring each other down across this vast empty hangar and the beautiful blue clouds billowing behind them.
It's absolutely wonderful. And a great way to end this discussion on our favorite pieces of art from the Art of the Rise of Skywalker books. We love these art books. So we might continue this journey. We'll figure that out. But we're so happy all of you came along for this one there. So, Joseph, thank you for pulling the book off the shelf and thumping it into your lap, all 20 pounds of it, it seems, and having this conversation.
It's good exercise and tons of Star Wars fun. Great images, great insights in the text. I'm really loving spending more time with these Art of books.
Absolutely. Hey, we are the Force Center Podcast. If you'd like to spend more time with us, we're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. You can use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked. Maybe share your own favorite pieces of art from this book. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube as well. We do have a Facebook page. You can go like us there, Force Center Podcast. Get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. And you can get some merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You might want to order some merch now if you want to wear it at Star Wars Celebration. We'll be there, and then we'll see you in the crowd. Even that much more easier. And we can point, give you a thumbs up, and we can have a good time celebrating Star Wars. You can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. And you can follow me at KatNapsok or go to my website, KatNapsok.com. And Joseph, where can they find all your stuff, including TikTok videos?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I'm trying to cover some more of my favorite Star Wars action figures and not open them, but appreciate them. You know, the art on the action figure packages, that matters to me too. So find me on social media. If you're interested in that, you can find all my other stuff on my website, josephscrimshaw.com.
Do it, my friends. Do it. All right. Wonderful discussion this week. We hope you all enjoyed it. That's it for now. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.